Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So for those of you who read my Advent reflections either in email or Facebook, you've heard this already. But I do think this is something that everyone here needs to hear. On Friday night, I participated in the annual vigil to memorialize the homeless who have died outdoors over the past year. And we had 19 such people who died here in the Upper Valley. And I was invited to offer a prayer and to conclude the proceedings with a reflection. It was cold on Friday night. It was also precipitating. And I use that word because sometimes it snowed and sometimes it rained. And I felt like it was a cosmic message to all of us gathered there to be mindful of the many blessings we enjoy. So I, like many of the other people who were gathered there, knew that I had a safe place to come home to. Now, you may wonder why I'm holding a key here. It has a tag attached to it that says, I should talk, engage with neighbors about support. And we were all given these little trinkets to encourage us to do different things. So I talked with my neighbors at the vigil. And one of those neighbors had a very interesting story. He's an ex-con. He's an ex-con who's involved in prison ministry. And I was reminded during this conversation that my job as pastor is not to impose my views on all of you. I try to listen to you, to hear you wherever you're coming from, and to reflect the love of God. Now, this guy was not only an ex-con, but he described himself as an anarchist. And I will say this to you, which I did not say to him then, I don't have much patience for anarchists. Now, yes, you can say I'm part of the power structure. I'm part of the establishment. But I will concede this. Sometimes we need to be shaken up. Sometimes we need to hear things that make us uncomfortable. Like the Magnificat. So yes, John mentioned rightly that we've heard this passage before. And we all know the story of Mary. But think about it. Mary clearly had a close relationship with her God. And when she was called to do something that she was not prepared to do, she did it. There was no handbook on how to be the mother of God. There was no handbook to prepare her for what she was going to have to go through, right up to the execution of her son. Now, my wife has left the sanctuary with the children, so I feel a little more comfortable talking to you about this now. But being a mother is not easy. And those of you who are mothers know what I'm talking about. I could not do that. From giving birth to all the hand-holding, which I've done a little bit of, and being fully present. Mary accepted this call. Now remember, she could have been put out on the street by Joseph, because back in that time, according to tradition and the law, if you are betrothed to be married, you are treated as if you were already married. So he could have said, oh, you've got someone else's child. Clearly, you're not faithful. Goodbye. Joseph didn't do that. So props to Joseph, too. But Mary was the one who had the child. And what does that child mean to you? What does that child mean to me? It's not just a reason for us to exchange presents on Tuesday morning, or Wednesday morning, I should say. So yesterday, and this is not going to sound very scriptural, I went down to our living room, and Rachel was watching some TV in the evening and flipping through the channels. And we watched a little bit of a football game, a little bit of college basketball game. And then we came to a program that most everyone here will be familiar with. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I remember that from when I was a little kid. And as we were watching it last night, my thought was, there is nothing about Christmas in this. There's no mention of Jesus. The toys are not the reason for Christmas. But you may remember there was an elf who had one dream. And Hermie wanted to be a dentist. And during the program, Rudolph said to Hermie, I don't know what a dentist is, but I hope you will be the best dentist ever. Think about that. That vote of confidence, the hope that was being shared. That was the kind of optimistic hope that Mary felt when she was called on by God to be the mother of Jesus. So many years ago, when I was a young adult, as the term was used at the time, I lived in Boston. I went to church in Copley Square. And a few of us gathered one evening during Advent to have some dinner with our pastor. And I loved our pastor. I still do. Jim was a great guy. But I probably have fallen into this trap too over the years. Jim paid too much attention in class at Divinity School. And he proceeded to tell us impressionable young people that the Magnificat was not Mary's words. That the text was most likely lifted from Hannah's song of praise when she was told about the birth of Samuel. So yeah, the Bible is complex. There was a lot of editing that went on. And I didn't need to hear that. Because even if these weren't the exact words that Mary said, they communicate something about the depth of her faith and her hopes for the future. So yeah, there's a little bit of the anarchist here too, isn't there? He's brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. Think about those words. God was coming to shake things up. Now, I'm not telling you, if you've got a healthy 401(k) or 401(k), that you should worry about your money. But I am saying that God loves each and every one of us, all of us. God does not evaluate us based on our bank balance or the size of our portfolio. Do you believe me? I see some of you nodding your heads. That's good. Maybe you're not all convinced. So looking at the last 2,000 years, a lot of good things have happened. And the church has been behind a lot of those good things. But a lot of bad things have happened too. And the church's fingerprints are there too. So the church is flawed. But that doesn't mean God is flawed. So for whatever inexplicable reason, God has decided to work through you and me. Think about that. Does anybody here suffer from the delusion that he or she is perfect? I'm glad you don't. I don't have that delusion. Yet, sometimes we act as if we are infallible. But think about Mary, and think about the baby she's going to give birth to. Would you have it in you to do what Mary did? Now, you're not going to be asked to give birth to the Son of God. You're all off the hook for that. But that doesn't mean that we are not called to do tough things. And yes, God is calling on each of us individually and all of us as a community to do his work here in the world. So it would be nice to think that we're all off the hook, that God's going to take care of all the problems. But God doesn't work that way. God has given us the ability to choose. God has given us the ability to help one another, to be present for one another, to share our gifts with one another, to do crazy things like stand out in the cold on Friday night. To respond to the call from the church to help others. So you may wonder how you go about doing this. Well, I suggest you do it with a song in your heart, the way Mary did. And maybe there's a tune you like that gives you a little bit of a pick-me-up or oomph when you need to start working. Think of that tune. And this may sound silly, but you can make up words like God loves me and just repeat it over and over and over. And if you truly believe that God loves you, think about how God would ask you to love others. Not always easy, but it's always important. And it's a blessing from God. So whatever you're going to do, whether it's serving God's people in a soup kitchen or working to make sure there's affordable housing for people, whether you choose to be a dentist, whether you're a misfit, you count. And God wants you. and God is cheering you on. My hope is you'll feel the support of God and God's community in all you do. So once again, Merry Christmas.